I'd like to invite you
this evening to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13.
Galatians 5, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you once again for the privilege of coming into your house, and then, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you, and Lord, knowing that you're here in our midst, may you open up our hearts and minds that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would be highly honored and exalted, and our lives drawn closer to you and strengthened, Lord, by your mercy and your grace and power to be the witnesses, Lord, of your great grace that you've given to us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Called Unto Liberty. You and I have been called unto liberty or into freedom. And so we praise the Lord for that. And we'll take a look at this here. But you know, as Brother Tom mentioned that song, little is much when God is in it. And when you stop and consider what the little was that he was talking about, whether it be the field, but you and I are not that big, are we? We're small in comparison to everything. And if God is in us, and if we'll go in Jesus' name, that means that we trust the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises and his word, God can do great and wonderful things. And so tonight, I just want to use that by way of introduction, realizing, you know, we are little, we're small, especially when it comes to God's plan, will, and work for our lives. We can't do a bit of it, but if we'll go in Jesus' name and trust and by faith in what he has promised, he will make it successful. That will give us occasions to worship the Lord and praise the Lord and to see souls saved. Amen. There's not a single one of us that can do anything to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can tell them about the Lord, but God has to open up their understanding. And God's the one that draws them, right? Isn't that what the Lord said? Unless the Father draws him, he can't come unto me. And so we praise the Lord for that. So really, the truth for the believer in Jesus Christ is that we are not under the law. So something has changed there. And when the Bible tells us that we're not under the law, does that imply that we have no responsibility to the Lord at all? Of course not. We do have a responsibility, but not by the works of the law. So tonight, when we consider what God is talking about, he says that we are not under the law because we have been set free. We want to understand what that freedom is all about. And so tonight, we're going to consider four quick thoughts here. And the first one is the liberty in Christ versus the yoke of bondage, the vehicle of righteousness, and then thirdly, the brethren's call to liberty, or you could say the believer's call to liberty or freedom, and then the direct opposition between the flesh and the spirit. Now, before the Apostle Paul got into chapter 5, or this portion of the epistle that he was writing, he was telling them an allegory of the two covenants, the one of Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, is what the Bible says, which is Agar there in chapter 4, verse 24. And then also we have also Sarah, which was Jerusalem, and she was the mother of us all. She's the one that has given to us this freedom. But the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, is writing this to the Galatians because there is a natural tendency, not just by others' influence, but there's also a natural tendency to be able to measure what we're doing and what we're not doing, whether we're doing right or whether we're doing wrong, right? So if you do these certain things, you're going to be a good, faithful Christian. And if you don't do these certain things, you will be a faithful Christian. But that's not what the Lord is saying, see? Because if we're looking to these things, guess who we're not looking to? See, we're not looking to the Lord, are we? So if we're looking to, look, because I do these things, in fact, believe it or not, reading the Bible and prayer is important. But the reason why you and I have access to the Lord Jesus Christ And by the way, I'm not trying to take away from reading the Bible and prayer. These things are important. We need to do these things. But those things are not our righteousness. It's the blood of Christ that is our righteousness. And because of the blood of Christ, that ought to drive us to calling upon the Lord, right? And praying and wanting to see His work and will completed in our lives. So let's consider some thoughts. Let's look at this liberty in Christ versus the yoke of bondage. And back up with me, if you will, to verse 1 of chapter 5. And he says, stand fast therewith, or stand unmovable therewith, in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. So here's a question. Who's the one that set us free? It's a person, isn't it? It's a work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it's really a work of the whole triune God, because we know that God the Father was part of the Godhead that sent the Son, right? And the Son willing to go, and the Spirit was the one that empowered everything. And so you can't separate them, right? They're always all together, and that's an important thing. And by the way, when Paul is approaching the Galatian believers, he was wanting, let me just phrase it like this. If Paul would have said nothing to these Galatian believers, were they on the right? They're saved, right? They're brethren. So he's writing to a church, is he not? And so were they headed in the right direction? No. And if he would have let it go, would they have found the right way? No, they needed the Word of God that brings light. And then there's something else required. So if you're driving down the road, And you see the road says the bridge is out. Have you all ever heard about the Sunshine? What was it called? The Skyway. It was, I think, over 200 feet up in the air. It was a bridge over Tampa, and around the Tampa area anyway. And what happened was that a barge hit it or something hit it, and there was a lot of fog. You couldn't see, and I forget how many cars went over. And people died, but there was a guy that was able to stop. I think he was in a little pickup truck. He was able to stop, and he was waving to people to stop, and they didn't stop. They thought, you know what they thought? This guy's crazy. What is he doing on this highway? And many people just drove right off and hit the barge or hit in the water or what have you. So they didn't heed the warning, did they? Okay, and that's a sad shame. Some did, but, you know, and finally, obviously, they got that stop, but it was catastrophic. So here's the thing. If you see a sign, and it's important to have a sign that says the bridge is out, something else needs to take place in order for you to be spared, right? If you see the sign and read the sign, there's one more thing we need to do in order to not receive damage or injury. What is that? We need to stop. We need to stop. We can compute and understand what the sign says, but we have to obey, don't we? We have to obey the sign if we're going to be spared. So how we can make preparations if you want. Let's say the bridge is out. We can build a hospital just on the other side of the bridge and say, so when you fall, you go right to the hospital. But that's not what we want to do. We want to stop the accident before it ever happens. And so that's what the Lord was trying to do with these Galatian believers. He was trying to say, there's a problem, and I want to redirect you. And so there's something else in this process here. We have to say, you know, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm headed in the wrong direction. Or the Lord wouldn't have written this. Or how about this? I have the potential to go in the wrong direction. If we say, oh, that's not for me, well, why in the world did the Lord write it in there for? If not for us to allow us to be on guard, that we have a natural tendency to do things whose way? Right. Oh, isn't that amazing? We all know that, don't we? You and I have a natural tendency to do things the way we think. And we know this, you've heard me say this before, and it's the truth, and it's important to rehearse this. Our ways and God's ways are not the same. And so if there's a conflict there, we don't have to, but we want to yield God the right of way in showing us what he wants us to do. So he says this, he says, I want you to stand fast or unmovable in the liberty where the Lord has set us free here, or where Christ hath made us free. And notice what he says here. And be not entangled, what's the next word? again. And be not, they get entangled before, right? And so he's trying to, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What? So let's just remind ourselves of something. What does the world say you must do to inherit eternal life? It's bondage. You have to do some things, don't you? And you have to not do some. That's the yoke of bondage. And so the natural tendency, once again, in the mind of man is to carry a yoke of bondage that we can never carry, that God never intended for us to carry. And so notice he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, or if you look to the things of the law, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. Now, wait a minute. Have these believers received some profit from the Lord already? They're saved, aren't they? So what is he saying? Is he saying that certainly not saying they're going to lose their salvation, but he's saying you are never going to experience, listen, nothing means what? Nothing. It's just that simple. So you're going to experience nothing from the Lord Jesus Christ as a saved child of God. He's talking to saved children. So if you realize here, he gave us an allegory previously, verse 24, which things are an allegory of chapter 4 in the book of Galatians. And now he's showing us how to apply what the application of this allegory is all about here in chapter 5 so that we can understand it and enjoy it. So he says, verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised or that looks to his exterior works with the Lord, in his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So here's what Paul is saying. If you're going to look at what you're doing and what you're not doing, then you have to look at everything God says you're to do and you're not to do. That's a big load. And mark it down. We can't keep up with it. We can't. But listen, it's not that God wants us to ignore that list. We can see. So here's the thing: we're looking to ourselves to be able to do it. Let alone not being able to do those things, we won't even remember everything that God has commanded to do. Right? We won't even be able to remember these things. So how are we going to do this? He says again, if that's what we look to, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Notice what he says, you are fallen from what? You can make your own laws. Question, did the Pharisees make their own laws on top of God's laws? And didn't the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke them for that? And so here's the thing, you and I also, believe it or not, can create and justify ourselves in our own minds by our own laws. And God, once again, he says, if that's what we do, then Christ has become of no effect. In verse 4, if we're justified by the works of the law, even by what we think. So if it's not in the Word of God, there's a problem with that. And it's not, listen, what is God after? God is after you and I to enter into the relationship that he has given to us to the full extent of the power and grace that he intends it to be. And so we have to be willing to say, Lord, I want to do it whose way? God's way. I want to do it your way, Lord. I don't want to. Listen, it is such an easy thing to get caught up in doing things a certain way because it's the way we've always done it. And it's the way that maybe makes sense to us. But here's the real question. Is it what God has commanded? That's the important part. So he says, verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Did you see how this works? So he says, we through the Spirit, and by the way, we'll see this again, but that's really the vehicle that God uses in the life of the believer. How are we to honor the Lord? Through the Spirit. And we wait for this hope of righteousness by faith. Now that doesn't mean, so obviously, yes, it will all be culminated. It will all come together. It will all be concluded when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and the work will be finished. But God is doing a work on this side of eternity as well. And so we want God to fulfill that work. And he's telling us, here is how we make this connection with the Lord to fulfill his will and work in our lives. But here's the thing. We have to want that. Lord, I want to experience you. I want to see and experience your grace and mercy in my life. Because if we see the grace of God, the world will too.
Amen.
The world will too. If we can experience how we have to die to self. And the truth is, we don't even know how to die to self unless God does it.
Amen.
Did Peter love the Lord?
Yes.
And did he love the things of God or the things of man when he told the Lord he shouldn't go to the cross? The Lord told him that, didn't he?
Yes.
And was Peter saved? Did Peter love the Lord? And yet he did not savor the things that were of God, but the things that be of men. Can that this is the humility part. Lord, keep me from that. Keep me from that. When we get angry or when we want to justify ourselves, is that Christ or is that us? That's us, isn't it? That's us. You know, God wants us to die to self, and that's not the sign of death to self. I am convinced God wants to give us revival if we'll follow him. God's already showing us his working. We were dry, I don't know for how long. Praise the Lord for Jimmy trusting the Lord, and the baptistry waters were stirred once again. And then before that, Miss Dana and others. And others, listen, the visitors we had today and your family, who's doing all that? Let's give God the credit. You know, yes, we didn't even invite the couple that came, but praise the Lord for that, right? Praise God for that.
Amen.
And so Lord, we don't want to look to ourselves. We want to look to you. What does God see when we say, well, this is the way I think things ought to be done? What does God see? Sees a big puffed up chest. And says, see somebody that is not compliant and trusting that the Lord, even before you and I were created, believe it or not, he knew that Northwood Baptist Church would be in existence. And God's got a plan for Northwood Baptist Church. And if we're not careful, we'll create the plan for Northwood Baptist Church. And it won't be God's plan. That's the truth. That's the truth. Listen, if we want the truth, we need to be on our faces before the Lord and say, God, for your will to be done and your work to be done, show us your way. Show us what you would have for us. So he says, for we, verse 5, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And by the way, those that wait upon the Lord, their strength is going to be renewed. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're the ones that God is going to bless. That waiting part is seeking the Lord through prayer and through his word and trusting that God is going to do this work. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit by idly and don't do anything. But listen, anytime and every time we have an opportunity, we should be telling, listen, we should work like it depended on us, but it doesn't depend on us. We should work. There was a lady here with her granddaughter this evening riding her bike. You know, she said hello. I said hello to her. I went inside, got a track, and got one of the family movie night things and told her about our program. Said, we'd love to have you. They live right over here. And the granddaughter lives right across the street, right over here. And she was learning how to ride her bike. I said, take your time. We don't have anybody coming for over an hour, right? And so they took their time. And the mother came over. And anyway, anytime and every time, we need to tell people about the Lord. And not just around here. Everywhere we go, we ought to be mindful. Listen, it just takes 2 minutes. And it's okay if they reject us. We want to let them know that somebody cares, that they know the truth. So listen, I want to give you an invitation to our church. And more important than that is the gift of eternal life that God has given to all of us. And that is inside this brochure I'd like for you to have. So God says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Notice verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, listen to this, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but one thing, Faith which worketh by love. Did you get that? That is the God has just told us. Listen, you've got people that say, "Oh, it's the law, circumcision," and then you got the other group. Oh no, oh just grace, uncircumcision. Don't worry about that. Oh no, that God says, oh no, that either way. What is important is as you look at, but faith in verse 6. But faith, what kind of faith? Question. Did the Pharisees have faith? Yeah, they didn't have faith in the Lord. They had faith in themselves. They had faith in their rituals and in their practices. And they, by the way, did their faith work by love? No, absolutely not the love of God. And so notice what he says here. But faith which worketh by love. See, now here's where the rubber meets the road. Do I have the love of God really that's merciful and gracious? Do I really have that love? And I will just tell you, first, no, I don't. I don't have that love. I don't. God has to give me that love. You know how often? Every day. You know how often? Every hour of every day. Let's fine tune that. Every minute of every day, because I am 1 minute, 1 second from stepping out of the love of God. So God wants to show us how much connected we need to be with the Lord, because we are one step away from stepping out of God's will into our own. That is the natural tendency, that we will rationalize and that we will do things our way, and God says we will miss him in the process. So again, look at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, and if you want to go to the other extreme, nor uncircumcision. Let's just throw out circumcision. Let's just go by grace. And God says, oh no, but faith, if you want to know what works, what kind of faith? Which worketh by love. Amen. And whose love is he talking about? He's talking about God's love. Our love is not real love. Our love is partial, isn't it? You know who we love? Do we love everybody? No. Who do we love? We love who we want to love. And we justify not loving those that we don't want to love. But God says we're to love who?
Everybody.
Who? Can you and I do that in our own strength?
No.
Never in a million years. It would never happen. So we need the Lord, right? That we might genuinely... Listen, what does it mean to love somebody? You care for their well-being. And you want to encourage them. And you want them to be blessed. And what does it mean to be blessed? It means to be happy, doesn't it? That's God's way of blessing. And so we need the Lord that we might genuinely want that for everybody that God brings us into contact with. So notice what he says here in verse 7. And this is running off course. So he tells us there, verse 6 is that key ingredient. And of course, that is by faith, but faith which worketh by love. That's the key ingredient to success in our relationship with the Lord. Or, even more important, to understanding the allegory that God has revealed to us here between Mount Sinai and Jerusalem. Between the works of the law and the works of grace. So Paul is speaking to these believers, and he says, you know, I want to help you because you've run off course. Look at verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So they're off course, aren't they? You were running well, but something's gone wrong. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who's called us? God has called us, hasn't he? And you know what he's saying? This persuasion, this mindset, this ideology is not of God. It's not of the Lord. And that's one of the first things that we have to say. You know what? This is not of God, no matter how righteous I might think it is. It's not of the Lord. If it runs against the word of God, we have no business walking in it. We are walking in direct opposition to God's grace. And when we walk in opposition, remember, the beautiful part about God not being a respecter of persons is everybody's welcome. But by the same token, he's not a respecter of persons. Even his own children, if they disobey him, they don't gain access. We miss out on the blessings of the Lord. Or Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wouldn't have written this letter to the believers in Galatia. He just said, you're on your own. Figure it out. But he didn't do that because he cared for them. And he wanted them to understand that they had run off course. And by the way, he put it in the canon of Scripture, right? That means this is the Word of God. This is the compilation of the whole document here for the believer, because you and I have the same tendencies and the same problems as every other person. Listen, you and I know each other to a certain extent, and that's our nature. We all have the same fallen nature, and that same fallen nature does the same thing in everybody's life, and it doesn't work right to the glory of God. So he says, you did run well, you started off right. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Where did you go off track? And we don't have to figure it out, but somewhere he's saying, somewhere something happened that you stopped obeying the truth. You know, listen, it could be, in this particular case, they were the Judaizers that came in. They were walking right until that influence came in and said, this is what you ought to be doing. And it was contrary to the Word of God. So likewise in our life, everything goes right until you have somebody come along and say, this is what's right. And it's against the Word of God. It's not right. And so he's saying, you did run well. What happened here? And then he says, verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And then he says this, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How much do you need?
A little.
And what does it do to the whole lump? It corrupts it, doesn't it?
Yes.
You just need a little bit off track. See, and here's some people, well, you know, I'm a believer. It's okay if I allow a little bit. A little bit. Does it really stop at a little bit?
No.
It's a little bit more and a little bit more. And pretty soon there's more of the little bit than there was of God. And so God wants us to be careful that we don't walk that way. And so what we need to say is, Lord, I want your help. Lord, your commandments are holy, and I want to obey, and I can't obey without the help of the Lord, but I want to obey how many of what your commandments you've given. All of your commandments, whatever you have commanded, that's the rule of my life. But if I start parceling out the things I'm going to obey and the things I'm not going to obey and the things that I'm going to excuse to the flesh, we have divided ourselves from the Lord. We have divided ourselves. You know, Saul disobeyed the Lord, and it ruined him. And it won't do us any good. King Saul, by the way, it won't do well for us either. So, verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Listen, God is saying that to you and I tonight. I have confidence in you. Why? Because you and I know the love of God. You and I have received the grace of the Lord. You and I have a great debt to the one that's the lover of our soul. That holds us in his hands, that has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And he says this to us tonight. This is through the Holy Spirit, right? And we know Paul's a writer, but the Holy Spirit was the one that moved him. I have confidence in you. Take this personally. Through the Lord. Think about this. That you will be none otherwise minded. In other words, that you'll not set aside faith which worketh by love. You'll not take a look at circumcision and you'll not take a look at uncircumcision. You'll look at faith which worketh by love there in verse 6. That will be your focal point. What does my faith build on? It has to be empowered by love. Whose love? The love of God. Has to work by that. And I have to be honest when I have to say, Lord, that's my love and it's limited. And the truth is, my love stinks. My love is not acceptable to you, God. Your love loves everybody. You mean even those who would despitefully use you? Absolutely. You mean those that would smite you? Turn the other cheek. That's the Spirit of Christ. And so, Lord, that's the love we want to walk in. See, the Pharisees, they thought they had some kind of love, didn't they? They thought they had the rules all down. And how did they walk? Did they walk humbly before the Lord, or were they proud? So proud that they missed the Lord. Can you and I walk so proud that we will miss the Lord? It's the potential is there. because we're fallible. And we need the Lord in a great way. So he says, verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. In other words, that individual, this is what God is saying, that is misleading you, he's saying their judgment's waiting. They're going to find trouble. And not that we want that, but Paul was saying these Judaizers came in and they were overthrowing the word of God with what they were teaching them. And so Paul was wanting the believers through the Holy Spirit, and the Lord wants each and every one of us as believers. Do you know, I had to evaluate things that I was taught years ago, as you have, I am sure, and understand more about the grace of God. Not everything that, if it's not coming from the word of God, and if it's coming up from the mind of man, mark it down, it's not of God.
That's right.
You know, listen, I was taught in the late 80s, early 90s, that preachers don't wear beards. That's what I was taught. So you know why I never grew a beard? Because they don't, and churches don't call preachers that wear beards. I wonder where Jesus, Peter, and all the disciples would have been. Where would that be? Where did that come from? Where in the world? Is that in the Bible? Can you show me chapter and verse for that? Where did that, and I want you to know, I was taught that from seminary teachers. And I believe they meant well. Clean cut, you know, look respectable, honor the Lord. But see, they took it a step further. They took it a step further. I'm not faulting them. I want you to know, I trusted them. But what they taught me was not in the Bible. And I took it hook, line, and sinker. And you know, listen, I'll never forget one time. I went in view of a call. A church called me to come candidate to be their pastor, and I went, and they said two fellows came and picked me up, and they had probably about 50 or so people in their congregation, and you know, it was, you know, I think they were well intended. Here's what the first thing they said to me, man, we were so worried that you were going, because people, they were starting to wear beards, you know, preachers were, we were so worried you were going to have a beard. That's what they said to me. That's what they said to me. We were so worried. And wait a minute, it gets better. You know what I thought? I would never. That's what I thought. I would never. Because, boy, I toe the line. Praise the Lord. I crossed the T and dot the I. And, oh, look at me. And you know who I was missing? The Lord. I set the love of God. I set up a standard that Jesus Christ. And by the way, somebody helped me with it. I would have never come to that just reading the Bible. I would have never come to that just reading the Bible. I had help. Just like these Galatian believers had help. Question, was it right or was it wrong? It was wrong. It's not in the Bible. So you see, when we lose touch with the Lord, we go way off base. We go way off. We go way out of line. And so we do need the Lord's help, greatly need the Lord's help, or we'll come up with some crazy things. And listen, we will stand before the Lord and give an account one day. And it will either be according to the word of God, not to what we thought. You think God's going to buy this one? But Lord, I thought. You think we're going to say that to the Lord? But Lord, no, we failed you, God. We were so full of ourselves, and that's what it takes. I will just tell you this, to be quite honest with you, when they said that to me, I was kind of proud. I would never have a beard. I would never have a beard. And you know what? That was a burden God never intended for me to carry. And for what purpose? Why? And so we can get off on little crazy tangents and miss the Lord. So He says, I have confidence in you, verse 11, through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And notice, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? In other words, I'm getting in trouble either way. Then is the offense of the cross ceased, but it's not. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Did you see that? Those that mislead you, I would just have that they would have nothing at all with the Lord. That they would have nothing to do with you to mislead you out of the way of Christ. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now watch this. Look at this freedom, he says. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Not judge one another, serve one another. Not judge one another, serve one another. You see the difference? I became a judge by what I was taught. And by the way, listen, we all have to go through this, and praise God that He opens up our eyes. Look at Peter. Did Peter need his eyes opened up about the cross of Christ? And he wept bitterly, and God put them together, didn't he? And then he preached and 3,000 souls were saved. And so God has a way to turn things around if we're willing, if we'll be yielded. So he says, use not your liberty, verse 13, for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Notice this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Wow. You want to follow? Listen to this. For all the law, how much of the law? Are you sure? Why are we sure? It's in the Word of God. So notice this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that means gentle, kind, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. So your neighbor is anybody that's not you. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to do. So if we want to fulfill, there it is right there. So what ought to be the focal point? How I love. Did you hear that? Listen, what ought to be in my relationship with the Lord, if you want to simplify, and that's what the Apostle Paul is doing, if you want to simplify our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's by the love that we have one for another. Amen. That's what he said right there. If you want to figure out how to walk in the law of God, and if we walk in the love of God, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because in order to love like that, we have to love the Lord. We have to be engaged in seeking the Lord. And when we love the Lord like that, his love spills out. Amen. And we praise the Lord. We don't want our love to spill out. It's not comely. It's not what God wants. It doesn't honor him. And we miss the Lord with that. So notice what he says. Verse 15 here. And here's the call into liberty. Here's how it works. But if you bite and devour one another... Listen to what God says. If you're backbiting, if you're speaking unkindly about one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We're like cannibals. That's what he's saying. We're consuming one another. This I say then. What is he saying? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is love, is it not? We will not misstep. Amen. We will be yielded to the love of God. And we will love everybody. No matter what. Right. We will love the love of God. Does the love of God love us? Amen. Are we sometimes unlovable? No. Aren't we glad that the love of God loves us even when we're unlovable? Amen. That same love will enable us to love others that are unlovable. And God is the one that is saying, here's where the rubber meets the road. You will miss everything if you miss this. We will miss everything if we miss this. We will not hear, you can talk yourself, the Pharisees thought they were right. They didn't stand right before the Lord unless they trusted him. And some of them did. But we can't miss it. So he says, this I say then, If we're going to walk, if we're going to serve the Lord, he says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, very quickly, as we consider this, notice what he says. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit, there's a battle against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's the battle. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If we're led of the Spirit, we're gonna love. We're not gonna fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking in the flesh, mark it down, we're not in the love of God. So that is the whole key. How would you say, unbiased and unconditional is my love? Is it really genuine? See, only you can answer that for you. We can put on exteriors, right? We can put on exteriors. But if in our deep down in our hearts, we don't hold high the love of God, then he's missing and we're walking in our own righteousness. And the Bible says we're not honoring the Lord and we're not fulfilling the law. We're missing it. And we're accountable for it. That, you know, the Bible tells us here, he says, listen, if you fulfill the whole law, for verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Didn't say 10, didn't say 20, didn't say your list. One word, God says. The whole thing is fulfilled, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this. He says, glad you asked, right? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if that is void, if that's null and void, then the problem is ours. And we need to bring that before the Lord. We can sidestep that. We can walk around it. We can jump over it. We could do everything we want with it. But that's the standard that God's going to hold us accountable to. Amen. And that is the key that unlocks the liberty wherewith we've been set free. To be able to love like that. There's the blessing. It is so good to it is so good to feel good in the love of God, is it not? Amen. It is so good to walk free and to genuinely love everybody. And to genuinely be compassionate and have the love of God for them. Do you know what God, how is God's love toward you? You know what God's will is for each and every one of us? His best. His best. You know what liberty, what freedom there is to want God's love, God's best on everybody? What a way to walk. God, may you bless everybody. And when we walk like that, do you think that pleases the Lord? That's his grace. That's what's needed. All right, very quickly, let me finish up here. So he says, verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he says this. Now he's going to tell us the opposition here between the flesh and the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, and it can be in the heart. It doesn't have to be the act. Adultery, fornication. If this is running in the mind, there's a problem. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He didn't need to list it out. He said anything that's of this flavor, anything that's of this nature, and just everything that's like that, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. I didn't say that. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the wrong kingdom, the wrong grounds to be standing on. I believe in the security of the believer, and I believe in the grace of God. But do we want to walk directly opposite to what God has directed us and think we're all right? Can we do that? Can we say, oh, I'm saved under the grace of God and I don't have to worry about all that? Is that what the Bible is saying? That's dangerous grounds. That, listen, in this regard, we'll never have the liberty that God has set us free with. As a saved child of God, we'll never be able to love those as Christ has loved us. and that the love of God might be revealed through our lives. It is a blessing, really. It is a blessing to see people that they can tell that you genuinely love them. And you in your hearts, I really do love them and want the blessings of God in their life. You know, Brother Warren, this last Thursday, we had lots of good visits. And he reminded me of this one lady. I think she was one of the first ladies we spoke with. We prayed with her. I asked her if we could pray. She said she was looking for a church. They were, I think, new in the area. Her fiance just passed away this last week. And you could tell she was broken up by it. And I just, could we pray with you? She said, oh, yeah. And we prayed with her, didn't we? And she was appreciative. But see, listen, if we're not looking to love people, do you know, I'm convinced she saw that we cared for her. More important, you know, is her soul. But if the love of God is absent, they're never going to be blessed through our lives as God intended. So notice what he says here. He says, listen, if we do these things that are like this, look at verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty powerful to me. I will tell you what that tells me. Don't do this. That's not for you. And so I don't want any part of it, and I need the Lord for that. So verse 22, here's what the work of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, this is the application of the allegory that God wants us to be of the free woman, the Jerusalem. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing, isn't it? Love. And what comes after love? Joy. The love of God. We're going to have the joy of the Lord. Jesus went through hardship, but did he have the joy of God? He did. Paul went through some hard things. Did he have the joy of God? How about Peter? He had the joy of God. He had to go through some things to get to the place where he could be filled with the joy of the Lord. And none of us are perfect, but we can have these things. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's a lot of good stuff, isn't it? Meekness, temperance. Notice this, against such there is no law. Now wait a minute, fathom this thought. Listen to this thought. This is the fruit of the Spirit, is it not? This is the fruit of the what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. So if we don't have the Spirit, we don't have His fruit. Right. So how important is the Spirit of God to the believer? Amen. It's all important. We don't have this without the working of the Spirit in the life of the believer. And so notice what he says. And they that are Christ, verse 24, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But it cannot be done apart from the Spirit. Can't be done apart from the Spirit. Notice verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And then he says, just look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Brethren, this is the love of God. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual or filled with the Spirit, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted or fall in this same situation. If a man be overtaken in a fault, if they're not walking right, shall we point at them and kick them, or shall we love them in the Lord? Isn't that the right way? So you can't do this for me, I can't do this for you. But the wonderful part of it is if we ask, and by the way, we really can't even do it for ourselves. We have to ask God to do it for us. But when God does it for us, isn't it glorious? Isn't it great? And then we are set free. We are walking in the liberty that God has called us to. And we will have a testimony of the love of God that will go before us, and the whole world will see it.
Amen.
Everybody will see it. And that is the mark of God that should abide on the child of God. And it's ours for the asking if we'll press the Lord for it and knock until he answers. Amen. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne of mercy and of grace. And Lord, we do thank you for your patience and long-suffering with each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you personally for your long-suffering with me, and you're not giving up on me, and you're continuing pointing me to the truth, Lord. And as I call on you, you are truly faithful to show me your will and your way, and I truly thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our hearts, open up our hearts and minds to receive everything that you have for us, and that we would walk in your way to your honor and glory. Bless the invitation. Build Northwood Baptist Church for your glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.